Welcome back to another Custom Deep Dive Learner. We are really excited you're here today because we're looking at something that is just, well, it's pretty wild.
Oh, it's absolutely fascinating.
Right. So usually when you buy a complicated piece of machinery, you get an instruction manual, right?
Yeah, exactly. Step one, step two.
Yeah, step one, step two. Do it this way or the machine breaks. It's very visible, very neat. But when you step into the world of company building or just, you know, managing humans,
the manual just vanishes.
It completely vanishes. Every leader is just desperately trying to figure out how to get their team to operate without like standing over their shoulders 24/7.
Right, which is why our source material today is so jarring.
Yes, jarring is the perfect word. We are analyzing the internal company handbooks of three wildly successful organizations. And the big connection here, the thing that ties them together, is that all three of these companies generate over $1 million in revenue per employee.
Which is just a staggering metric.
It is. But, Learner, if you put these three documents side by side, they look completely unhinged.
They really do.
Document number one is this raw, 36-page, typo-filled brain dump from Mr. Beast.
Right, the YouTube creator.
Exactly. Then document number two is from Netflix, and it's this incredibly bent, 5-page philosophical manifesto.
No operational rules, just philosophy.
Yeah, just philosophy.
Yeah.
And then the third one is from Duolingo, the language app. It's a 64-page illustrated book with like strict version numbers and a diagram of their mascot, the owl, with a label pointing literally to its rear end that says OBUTT.
I mean, you can't make this up.
You really can't. So why are we looking at these? Well, our mission for this deep dive is to explore what the source material calls the taste transfer problem.
Yes, this is the core of it all.
It's this idea of how do you encode your human judgment, your specific taste, so that someone else or something else can execute it autonomously.
Right. And the author of the source material uses this brilliant analogy.
Yeah.
They say these handbooks are essentially Claude 8MD files for humans.
Oh, I love that framing.
Yeah. For anyone who might not be deep in the weeds with AI, a Claude.md file is basically a system prompt. It's the foundational document where a programmer tells an AI agent, here's how you should think, here's what good looks like, and here are your strict guardrails.
So these companies are doing literal system prompt engineering, but on flesh and blood people.
Exactly. And by decoding these three documents, we actually reveal three distinct archetypes for how we are all going to work in the coming AI era.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because if you want someone to replicate your exact taste, I feel like the most obvious approach is to just open the valve and tell them literally everything in your head, right?
Yeah, just dump all the data.
Right. And that brings us to the first archetype, the brain dump. This is the Mr. Beast model.
And it is completely unfiltered.
Totally. The source notes that Jimmy Donaldson, Mr. Beast, he opens this 36-page document with an actual apology. He says, quote, sorry in advance for all the run-on sentences and grammar issues. I'm a YouTuber, not an author. Ha ha.
Yeah, zero corporate polish. He completely bypasses HR speak.
It's not a corporate manifesto at all. It's like giving someone your grandma's secret recipe, but like telling them the exact angle to hold the spatula.
That's a great way to put it.
He lays out these hyper-specific guardrails. Like there's this one rule that really jumped out at me, the $10,000 camera rule.
Oh, yeah, the visual money rule.
Yeah. He explicitly tells his team that if they spend over 10 grand on a prop or a stunt, that money has to be visually apparent on camera. If the viewer can't see the money, he says, rethink the purchase.
Right, because he's forcing his team to internalize his personal definition of production value. The money isn't just to make the stunt happen, it's for the spectacle itself.
Exactly. And he also forces everyone to speak in his exact mathematical language. He demands they track CTR, AVD, and AVP.
Which, for those not obsessed with YouTube analytics, is click-through rate, average view duration, and average percentage viewed.
Right. Everything is math and metrics. But the part of this document that really blew my mind was the car buying prompt.
Oh, this is the best part of the whole analysis.
It's so good. So he tells his team, never come to me and just say, hey, we're giving away a car. What do you think of this $10,000 Lexus? Because, Learner, if you've ever been frustrated that delegating a task actually created more work for you, this right here is why.
Yes. Open-ended questions are terrible for delegation.
Exactly. It puts all the cognitive load right back on the visionary. So Mr. Beast gives them a strict prompt template.
He essentially tells them how to prompt him.
Yes. He says, write it like this. We have a coming up video. One of the bits at the 6 to 9 minute mark, we will be giving away a car. We are still on budget, and the budget for this car is $10,000. I searched all of North Carolina for cool cars around that price point, and here are 5 marks. I found that I got pre-approved by Creative. I also got 5 other backup options.
I mean, if you look at the architecture of that request, it is literal system prompt engineering.
It really is.
It establishes context with the specific minute marks. It defines the constraints, which is the $10,000 budget. It provides pre-vetted options, and it includes fallback plans.
Right, because if you don't do that with an AI model, it just hallucinates, right?
Exactly. If you give a large language model a weak, vague prompt, it will just confidently make up fake information or spit out something totally useless.
Right.
Well, humans suffer from the exact same phenomenon.
Yeah.
If you give an employee a vague request, they will hallucinate a solution that completely misaligns with your taste.
Wow, that is such a good point. Human hallucination.
Yeah. So Mr. Beast bounds the problem to prevent that. In the AI context, this is the early agent integration model. You have one human visionary holding the taste and everyone else, or every AI agent, executing within those tight specs.
But, okay, wait. I see a massive flaw here. If Jimmy Donaldson has to manually review 5 pre-approved cars and check minute marks for literally every prop, what happens when the company gets too big?
It breaks. The human bandwidth shatters.
Right. You can't write a specific prompt for every micro decision in a massive enterprise.
No, you can't. The ceiling of the brain dump approach is just the founder's waking hours.
And that leads us directly to our second archetype, which is the complete opposite approach.
Constitution.
Exactly, the Netflix model.
Yeah, so where Mr. Beast needs 36 pages of, you know, hyper-specific rules, Netflix distills its entire operational engine into just 5 pages.
It's incredibly brief.
Yeah, there are no specific rules about drop budgets or analytics formulas. It's built on these 4 broad philosophical pillars, like the dream team and people over process.
Right. Instead of control, they provide context.
And the simplicity is radical. I mean, they have a 2-word vacation policy. Take vacation.
That's the whole policy.
And their expense policy is literally 5 words. Act in Netflix's best interests. But, okay, I have to push back on
that. Go for it.
If you literally tell thousands of employees to just figure it out, isn't that a recipe for absolute chaos? Like, what stops someone from expensing a private jet?
What's fascinating here is, and this is how they prevent that chaos, they use a mechanism called the Keeper Test. Right, the Keeper Test.
Yeah. Netflix relies entirely on trusting unusually responsible people to have autonomous judgment. But to ensure they only have those people, managers constantly have to ask themselves one brutal question. Knowing what I know today, would I hire this person again?
Wow. So, like, if you had to re-interview them today, would they get the job?
Exactly. And if the answer is no, even if the employee is perfectly fine, hits all their deadlines, and never breaks any rules, they are let go with a generous severance.
That is ruthless. So they don't need a rule book because they systematically eliminate anyone who requires a rule book.
Yes, they actively purge process. They believe that if you dummy-proof your company with endless rules, you're just admitting you hired dummies.
Wow. Okay, but how does this connect to AI? Because Mr. Beast was easy to see as a system prompt.
This is the critical disconnect. The Netflix model is the absolute hardest to replicate with current AI.
Wait, really? Why?
Because we are currently in the detailed system prompt era of AI. We are in the Mr. Beast era. AI models today don't have internalized values. They can't exercise genuine independent judgment in highly ambiguous social or corporate situations.
Oh, I see. Because AI is trained to be helpful and compliant.
Exactly. Netflix actually requires employees to farm for dissent. You're expected to argue with the CEO if you think a strategy is bad. An AI agent today can't genuinely navigate that kind of cultural nuance without just breaking or acting erratic.
Right. You can't just hand an AI a vague 5-word prompt and trust it to understand office politics.
You really can't.
Okay, so Mr. Beast is too reliant on one person, and Netflix requires an army of superhumanly responsible people. Is there a middle ground?
There is. You turn the company into an algorithm.
Which brings us to Duolingo, our third archetype, the operating system.
Right, the experiment machine.
Yeah, so Duolingo's approach is essentially a software manual for humans. They call it the green machine.
And it relies heavily on standardization.
It does. It's full of glossaries, strict version numbers like V1.0.0. They standardize the literal vocabulary of the company.
It removes all those tiny micro misunderstandings that slow things down.
Yeah, and there's this one specific detail about quality that I loved. They refused to use the term MVP.
Minimum viable product, yeah.
Right. Because MVP usually just becomes an excuse to ship garbage. People say, oh, it's just the MVP, push it out.
And then it's buggy and terrible.
Exactly. So Duolingo banned the term and replaced it with V1, version 1. And just by changing that single word, they embedded a high-quality standard into the company culture. A version 1 implies it's a polished foundation, not a throwaway experiment.
They encode judgment directly into the system's vocabulary.
Yeah, but how do they handle the actual taste problem if they aren't dictating it from the top like Mr. Beast, or trusting individual intuition like Netflix?
They generate taste through massive, ruthless experimentation. The Source talks about their 99 bad ideas tradition.
Oh, right, the brainstorming sessions.
Yeah, they sit down and intentionally brainstorm the most ridiculous ideas possible.
Yeah.
Like, what would Duo the Owl do if he had 5 seconds at the Super Bowl?
Which is such a funny prompt.
It is. But in AI terms, this is basically temperature crank generation.
Okay, for the learner listening, the temperature in AI is like a dial for randomness. Turn it up and the AI gets weird and creative. Turn it down and it gets very rigid and factual.
Exactly. Duolingo cranks the human temperature dial to maximum to get wild variants. But then they follow it up with strict human curation. They take those wild ideas, test them, and let the data decide.
And that Super Bowl idea actually became a real ad, right?
It did. The data validated it.
Mm.
And this is why Duolingo is the most naturally AI amplifiable model.
Because it's a loop.
Right. Build, measure, iterate. The system generates taste through data, not individual genius, that is structurally identical to how an AI agent loop works. If you swap out humans for AI agents in that system, the engine just spins faster.
Wow. Okay, so we've got the brain dump, the constitution, and the operating system.
Three very different models.
Extremely different. But here's where it gets really interesting. Despite these radically different approaches, they all achieve that staggering $1 million plus revenue per employee. Why?
Because they solve the same fundamental bottleneck.
Right, the taste bottleneck.
Yes. These companies are what the author calls proto-agentic. The ultimate constraint on their growth isn't how fast an editor can edit or how fast a coder can code.
It's knowing what to edit or code in the first place.
Exactly. The constraint is the bandwidth of the people who know what good actually looks like. So they use massive tech leverage to multiply that specific taste.
Yeah, Mr. Beast uses the YouTube algorithm to multiply his taste to 100 million viewers. Netflix uses their recommendation engine. Duolingo uses their gamified streak feature.
Technology expands the execution, but it doesn't expand the taste itself.
Exactly. And when you look closely at all three sources, they actually align on some really harsh operational realities.
They absolutely do.
First, they all demand results over hours. Mr. Beast says time at a desk is irrelevant. Second, they only want A players.
Right. The blast radius of a bad employee in a highly leveraged tech company is just too big.
Yeah. Mr. Beast says C players are, quote, poisonous. Netflix has that brutal keeper test. And Duolingo bluntly says in their manual, better a hole than an a-hole.
They'd rather have nobody than somebody mediocre.
Totally. And the third thing they share is favoring creativity over just throwing money at problems. The Mr. Beast document had this great example. He realized that offering a year's supply of Doritos, which he mathematically calculated as exactly 1,825 packs, was way more exciting to viewers than just giving away $20,000.
And it costs way less.
Way less. It's pure creative leverage.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it reveals the grand paradox of the AI era.
Okay, lay it on me.
The Mr. Beast model, the top-down, highly detailed prompt, is the easiest to automate right now. You can just plug an AI agent into that structure.
Yeah.
But it is structurally the most fragile.
Fragile? Wait, why? If it's the most specific, shouldn't it be the safest?
Because right now, human employees naturally push back. The Source mentions a guy named James Warren, who works for Mr. Beast. He understands the vision so well that he can tell Jimmy when an idea is actually bad.
Oh, right. The load-bearing pushback?
Yes. If you replace the James Warrens of the world with AI agents that just blindly say yes and execute the prompt flawlessly, the visionary's blind spots go completely unchecked. The system will collapse.
So the easiest to automate is the most dangerous.
Exactly. Whereas the Netflix model, with its web of highly responsible humans challenging each other, is the most resilient. But it's currently impossible for AI to replicate.
So what does this all mean for you, the learner, listening to this right now? Whether you're managing a team or working solo or just playing around with AI tools, you have to ask yourself, How are you transferring your taste?
Are you a brain dumper, a value setter, or a system builder?
Exactly, because the AI era doesn't just test what you can do with your own hands. It tests what you can encode.
Which leaves us with a really provocative thought experiment.
Oh, I love these!
Imagine you had to step away from your job tomorrow, just walk away completely, and hand your entire role over to an autonomous AI agent.
That's terrifying.
It is. If you had to write your own personal CleoDE.md file tonight, a literal instruction manual for how be you, what unspoken tacit knowledge would be trapped in your head.
Wow.
Think about the gut feelings you have during a crisis, or the silent judgments you make about the tone of an email.
The stuff you don't even realize you know.
Exactly. How much of your unique taste is currently impossible for you to put into words? Because if you can't articulate it, you can't transfer it. If you can't transfer it, you can't scale it.
That is a lot to chew on for the rest of the day. Learner, think about that the next time you try to explain what good looks like to someone else. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the source material. We will see you next time.